And over the years, I've had a chance to talk some wonderful people. And one of my favorite people is actually here getting ready to do a gig happening tomorrow, March 16th at 7:30 at the Napilikai. I'm talking to the amazing Jim Kimo West. Kimo, how are you?
Aloha, Cindy. Mahalo for having me on.
I just love your music. You know, I was just thinking about you. Of course, you know, you have a huge, huge fan base for a very good reason. You know, your music is just so beautiful. And not many people can achieve what you've achieved with your Slack Key music. In 2021, you got the Grammy Award for your CD, More Guitar Stories, which I'm playing a little right there in the background. I'm playing some. And of course, in 2019, you also were a nominee for the Moku Malohia Peaceful Island, and you're the winner of 2008 Hawaii Music Awards as well, and multiple three-time Nahoku Hanohano Hawaiian Grammy nominee. But I think a lot of your people know you through Weird Al Yankovic. I mean, have you ever figured that out on your Facebook, how many people know you through your tours with Weird Al, and how many people know you for your Slack Key?
Yeah, you know, and there's a slight cross-section where they come together, but, you know, I've been playing with Weird Al for, you know, a good part of my life, and, you know, we've been touring and making records for, you know, like almost 40 years, I guess, so of course a lot of people know me for that, but I started playing Slack Key not long after I started playing with Weird Al, actually, but for many years I just did it for my own enjoyment. You know, it was something I just liked to do, and then I started making recording and making records. It was probably, I think my first record came out in 1999. So, you know, so gradually Slack Key became sort of another career for me. And it's been wonderful.
It's really an interesting dual hat because, you know,
yeah.
You know, it was also fascinating because as all musicians experienced the last 2 years of COVID, pretty much everything on tour went on hold. But when things started opening up out of this long drought of no time on the road, all of a sudden you went back with a vengeance on tour, and you literally just came back about a week ago, didn't you, from your first round of tours with Weird Al?
Well, actually, I was on tour for 2 months, but it wasn't with Weird Al. It was with a show called International Guitar Night, which is a concert tour that features four different guitarists from different parts of the world every year.
Huh.
And so I was paired with Lulo Reinhardt, who's the grandnephew of gypsy jazz great Django Reinhardt.
Wow.
A Vietnamese classical guitarist named Tu Le, amazing guitarist. And then Lucas Stricagnoli, who's a huge YouTube sensation. He's probably got like 100 million views.
Whoa.
On YouTube. He's from Italy.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was four guitarists, and we played about 34 shows, mostly West Coast, Western Canada, Rocky Mountains, Montana, some East Coast shows. We played Wolf Trap Barns a couple nights,
wow.
And you know, some stuff over there, but a lot of stuff in the mountain areas and California and Washington State and British Columbia. But it was a super fun tour, really, amazing musicians, and we all... You know, we play our own sets, but we also do duets and quartets.
Wow.
So we all play with each other in different. So there's like these cultural fusions of, like for example, Tu Le she's an amazing classical guitarist. And we played her arrangement of a traditional folk song from Vietnam, but with Hawaiian slack key.
Wow.
You know, so there was like all these kind of cross cultural combinations, and a very entertaining show, standing ovations every night, and
wow,
sold out shows, and very successful. But it was 2 months, and now I'm back. I got a couple days here in Napili to relax, and then I got the show tomorrow night.
Yeah, and that's always such a treat, because you do play these really large venues, and Napilikai is a very intimate venue compared to the large arenas and other places at concert halls in which you've played. So, I mean, it's really wonderful. And you did literally fly in just for a few days on this one. And then you have to go back and you're doing some more gigs.
Right.
And then you do go on tour.
I got a couple shows on the weekend with another artist named Joss Jaffe, who I just, we're having a CD coming out in just a few days. It's a And it's a kind of a cross-cultural record as well. He plays African ngoni, which is like a kora, African harp and tablas, and we're mixing all this kind of stuff up together. But I have a couple shows with him, and so it's been a busy year.
And then you do go back on tour with Weird Al for a while.
Yes, yeah, for quite a while. We actually are doing a six-month tour with 133 shows.
Wow.
And that's U.S. and Canada, and I've never done a six-month tour before, so we'll see how I hold up.
Yeah, it's so different in each one. It's interesting watching people getting back into it, and I'm friends with Dave Mason and Winifred, and they just hit the road, and they're doing their bus tour. It's rather intensive, too. How, when you do these, you know, getting back into it from kind of being laid back and chill for a few years, how do you set your mind and your intention to get geared up to go on a rather intensive road tour like that?
Well, it kind of ramps up, you know, because we have rehearsals. We just had a weekend of rehearsals with Al, that is. And, so we're learning the tunes and refreshing our minds on the, refreshing the old tunes. And, it kind of builds up. We have like three more rehearsals, and then once we get to the first show is, which I believe is Poughkeepsie, New York, I believe, at that point we'll have a day that's more of like a tech rehearsal for the crew. And so it kind of, we kind of build into it. And then the first couple of weeks, usually it's, we're playing every night, but it's kind of sort of like rehearsal and getting all the bugs ironed out. And then, after the first couple of weeks, it's, it rolls along pretty well. But on this tour, it's a stripped down tour, kind of like what we did in 2018. So he's not playing all his big hits and stuff. We don't have all the big video and all that stuff. And we're basically playing all the deep cuts, his originals and stuff that the hardcore fans really love. So we've got about 50 of those songs in rotation, and we'll have a different set every night. So it'll be fun. It'll be a very musical experience. There's no backing tracks or anything like that. It's all just us playing and singing. And so it'll be 6 months of that.
So do you take, when you're on road like that doing it, do you even take your an extra slack key guitar so you can play in your room or do anything? Because you're obviously not playing slack key.
Oh, yeah. I take a guitar just for the hotel room, and I also take I have a case that I carry, sort of a recording setup, something I can do recording on in my hotel room. Because sometimes people will call and ask for tracks and hire me to play on sessions so I can... I have an interface and microphones and different stuff that I can use in my hotel room. So I've done many tracks in my hotel room, that have ended up on records, and including my own records.
That's amazing. I love that, don't you? I mean, I have to say, you're just one of the nice, really, really nice guys. And I have to say, it comes across and your music. I did think, it was funny. I hadn't ever had this thought before. But we all know how we care about the quality of the wood and how an instrument is played and, if it's handmade or if it's made to your specific instructions. So we all know how we want the best in an instrument. And then I was just thinking of you, Jim, and I'd never had this thought before. But you can have the best quality wood and a really great instrument, but it's the person, and it's not just tech person, it's the energy that you are also comes across, I believe, in your playing. And that's it's not something you can actually quantify, but we certainly can experience it. Have you ever thought of that before?
Yeah, I actually have. It's you could take the same guitar and give it to 10 different people and it would sound 10 different ways, I think where they all talk, people talk about, recording, the technical end of recording, and I'm into that as well. But I think the most important thing is the person and their approach to the instrument. And then the second most important thing is the instrument itself. And then it goes down the line with microphones and preamps and all the other stuff,
Yeah.
But the most important thing is the heart and soul that you put into it. And then because, you could have a, some players just sound good no matter what guitar you give them. You know, you could give them the, you know, the junkiest guitar and it still sounds great.
Yeah. No, I mean, that is really, no, that is the truth. And I think sometimes we put so much emphasis on our equipment and how that is. But then again, you know, if you're really an artist, you can play, you know, anything. And we, I mean, I can't help but sometimes to think about Willie Nelson's guitar, right? And you know how he's had that all those years, right, with the hole in it and the hole. And you know, and you think of B.B. King, you know, and Lucille. I think he had many Lucilles. But it is the fact that that relationship you have also is important with your guitar. But it's also the most important relationship you have yourself with the music and the energy. Because, you know, people are frequencies. People are energy, as well as the guitar and the music and all that. So you can't underplay that either. And I have to say thank you because I'm doing a you know, Rupam, you played. You were so kind. You and Rock Hendricks and George got together and played when Rupam Sharma did the One Little Finger show here. And you were so kind. I mean, you did that day gratis, you know, no notice that same day you came and played. And it was
I
so
felt bad because I just have my kind of old Boro Boro shorts and T-shirt or something.
I don't think anyone even noticed. I don't think ever, because you know the music was so beautiful. I don't think anyone noticed that what you were wearing. But I
had been up in Kula visiting Steve Grimes, and I you know, and when I got the call, and I luckily had my guitar with me, and I said, well, I'll happy to come. I just don't have any nice clothes.
It didn't make a difference, and it was so memorable. But then Rupam reached out to me again, and he's doing an album. He cares so much about children with disabilities, and he wants to do an album for that. So, I he came to Hawaii that time and fell in love with Hawaii, and he wanted a couple of songs done here with young Hawaiians singing. So I reached out, and I had that word, you know, a song called Believe. I went up to Mike Castle's studio. He works with Kalani Pea and many others. And we got these beautiful four young girls and one young lady who's 14 who sings beautifully. And you know, we just needed the right kind of guitar and background. And Rupam said, what about chemo? What'd he do? I said, I don't know. Go ahead. And I was very intimidated to ask you. And I asked you, and you were so... You were so nice and kind about it, you know, with your very, very busy schedule, and you agreed to do it, and that will be a part of that song called Believe.
Well, we'll see how it sounds after it's done.
I think
it'll be nice. I think I've heard the song, and I think I've got a good idea of what to do. So as soon as I get back next week, I'll jump on it, and we'll send you a track.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was, again, just an example of your very... your kindness that you have as well. And you have played many, many festivals here in Hawaii. I mean, you always try to come and do what you can do here, as well as you've been on some TV spots and the Disney Channel and National Public Radio. And, you know, you just have had that ability to reach out to that the group of people you really care about and took the time from your busy schedule to be able to do some of those things.
Well, that's why I like coming to Napili, you know, because the show is all about slack key and, you know, your audience is, you know, they're there to hear Hawaiian music and slack key, you know. In some of the other concert situations, it's, you know, sometimes you're playing and you're introducing people to it for the first time, you know. But at this show, it's, you know, a lot of people who come especially to hear that style of music. So it's always fun to play for that kind of audience.
How many people can fit in that room?
Well, I don't know if they're limiting the attendance right now or not, but I think they can pack a couple hundred in there, or maybe 250. I think maybe that's about the maximum, I believe. But
I guess people should go to Napilikai, or you know, I know George Kamoko has a site, but probably Napilikai would be best place to get tickets on that, right?
I think they sell tickets through the Slack. It's called slackkeyshow.com, and that's George Kahamoko's website. And I think that's the best place to buy the tickets. I don't think the hotel has them on their website.
Oh,
but
okay.
I think if you go to www.slackkeyshow.com, then you'll see the links and everything there.
So with all,
or you can, I think you can just show up and buy a ticket too. I think you can just walk in and pay for it right there.
Oh, that's isn't that that's Hawaii style, Hawaiian style, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Now you have been back in the time. I know in the last year or two, you've been to. I think one time you went to Kauai, and one time you had some gigs in Oahu. I think you did go to Hana. I mean, what's your jumping around schedule been for the last couple of years?
Well, I'm based in L.A. mostly because of music and, you know, opportunities, but I Hawaii is still home, so I try to get over here a few times a year, and sometimes just to play, you know, to play shows. Sometimes I think last time I was here at Napili, I was here for a few days, and then I went out to Hana for a week and hung out with my friends and family out there. And then sometimes I'll go to Kauai, and usually I think after the Weird Al tour, I'm probably going over there for a couple weeks. But I didn't really plan any shows. It's really just to kind of recuperate from the 6 month tour.
Yeah. No, you have to recharge your batteries. That's why people come to Hawaii, right?
But I usually end up playing music. I usually end up playing music there, just casually with friends like Mike Kaali and people like that, you know, over at Tahiti Nui or wherever, you know, various different venues and stuff. So that's always fun.
Yeah, no, that's kind of what it's about, right? That's what we do love about Hawaii is that you can, because with friends and venues like that. And that's what makes it very special, because they're small enough venues, people can come up and say hi and do that. Now, one of the things I love about what you do is you're one of the, it's become so hard. A lot of people, I would say, do not do CDs anymore. And it's kind of sad, but I'm seeing CDs slip away. I still like CDs. And like, you know, right now I have one of your CDs, in the player there. I can see it, play it there. To me, a CD is still something I'd like to have. I mean, I was an album aficionado. I'm that old, where we did play albums. And I like to see and hold something. I like to look at the pictures. I like to read the information. And I say with MP3s, it's not quite the same, because you might have it on your computer, but you're not going to be looking at the information on your computer. You may have headsets on or walking or doing something else or driving, but you're not holding these information, looking at it, finding out about what's going on. So are you going to still continue to do CDs, you think?
Yeah, well, I think so. You know, these releases that are coming out, these collaboration releases are just going to be digital only, but my next full-length CD will definitely be a physical. But yeah, it's true. Like MP3s are convenient, but you can't autograph an MP3.
Exactly. Yes, I know. It's the same with books. You can't have a book signing with an e-book. There's just no way, right? I mean, thank you. I mean, no, that is the truth. And I have to say also, and you're just tuning in, I'm talking to the great Jim Kimo West, and his website is jimkimowest.com, and it's a great site. I want to also encourage people to check out I really do like your newsletter. I'm not a fan of a lot of people's newsletter, but your newsletters are excellent. They have a lot of information. They feel personal. They don't feel cookie cutter, you know. And
you can sign up for it. I think there's a little link on my website. If you want to get the newsletter, you can just press the button there and enter your email, and it'll automatically go to you. I just send them out once a month, generally.
Yeah. Well, the submissions you have this year, did you get a chance to enter any of your last work in the Nahoko Hano Hano Awards?
I did. I did enter my CD, Kahunua Maluhia, and as far as I know, I did. I did it online all that stuff. So I believe it's in there.
I think the deadline for entries is actually tomorrow, March 15th, as I remember.
Yeah, I think I did it a few weeks ago or something, a couple weeks ago at least, something like that.
Yeah, and for the Grammys, it was... I'm sorry you're not going to be able to make the Grammys. I haven't taken a trip in 2 years, Jim. I mean, it's been stuck here. But, I've got to get stuck somewhere. I guess Maui's not so bad.
Well, that sounds like a fun time. I'm just too busy to go and just got too much going with rehearsals and the upcoming tour. So I can't make it.
I know. But you have, I mean, it was pretty amazing. People were blown away. You know, it's not easy to get a Grammy. People who aren't in the business don't realize how difficult it really is. And I mean, it was just quite amazing how you got your Grammy and nomination, and all of that was really quite a huge honor.
It really was, and it's a great thing to, you know, that nowadays that independent musicians can actually, you know, have that kind of traction. I mean, I pretty much do everything myself. I mean, I don't do my own graphics, but I'm, you know, kind of pretty much my own publicist and my mm-hmm. own, you know, I do record and engineer all my own records. And so, you know, I do have somebody who does my website and like I say, a graphics person. I don't have a, you know, huge team of people or anything like that. So it's mostly a one-man operation.
Yeah, I know. And when you're going to be now going back into full swing again with the touring, it gets to be a lot. I mean, you know, and I guess that's part of being an independent musician, is you learn how to juggle. I mean, you really just have to learn how to juggle it all. And it's not easy because there's business, which is business, and then there's the music, which is music, and then there's also the touring on top of the music. And that's a lot to juggle.
Yeah, it is. You have to sort of wear a lot of different hats and nowadays. And, you know, I'm lucky that I can do production and engineering and session work and, you know, besides my own records and touring and all that stuff, I kind of have a lot of different things I can do, so that helps me, especially times like COVID where we had a lot where, you know, you couldn't do any shows. So,
and did you find yourself doing more I noticed a lot of people were doing more studio work during the last couple of years of COVID. Did you find that enhanced and put
in I was in my studio all the time. We're either working on my own stuff or working on stuff for other folks. I spent a lot of time in my studio during COVID, and I have the most of another record done. I just with the touring and everything, I'm just not going to have time to finish it up till the tour is over. So
what's that going to
be? I'm not sure when that'll come out, but it'll, you know, whenever it's done, it'll come out.
what's it going to be? And tell me about it a little bit.
Well, it's kind of like I'm using a lot of slack key acoustic guitar tunings and stuff, but I would say it's sort of a cinematic Americana record, really. Mm. It's got some Americana elements, but it's all instrumental and kind of spacey cinematic Americana with slack key.
That sounds interesting. It sounds to me maybe like, you know how George Winston got that feeling of Americana sometimes, but he has a plains mm-hmm. feeling, right? You know how George Winston,
right.
The sounds of the plain.
Sure.
And it, but it felt very, his music feels very American, right? But on mm-hmm. on piano,
yep.
Of course, but I don't know too many people who do that on guitar. I'm trying to think of others.
Yeah, I figured it's sort of something different that I haven't really heard before, and I've got some really amazing musicians playing on it. And so I'm looking forward to having that finished, but I'm not hurrying it. It's just, you know, it'll just get done whenever it's done.
Well, and when you say amazing musicians, I mean, you know people from all over. How do you go about deciding the sound that you want in something that's different like this?
Well, you know, just a lot of times as I'm working on the song, I can definitely hear a particular instrument in there,
yeah.
Whether it's violin or pedal steel or things like that. And, you know, I usually know right early on. And then once I have, you know, a few songs, like say if I want pedal steel on something, I had my friend Greg Lease over recording the other day, and he recorded on several tracks of mine. And he's, instead of having him come over for one song, he played on like three songs. It's just something I sort of hear. And sometimes sometimes I might try it out myself just to see what it sounds like before I hire somebody, you know, but.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of fun. I like having all these really great musicians on there.
Do you know Grant Molloy Smith?
Oh, yes, I do. Uh-huh.
You know, and he has, again, that he did that whole Dust Bowl series and everything and has that sound. But
mm-hmm.
I can't help but think now how the Americana category has really grown, and it's kind of embraced people who are folk, it seems like, people who are... used to be maybe kind of rock or folk rock, and now have kind of gone a little more acoustic, right? It's gotten to be
mm-hmm.
a fast. Some people used to be country. People, you know, it's an interesting category now. It's evolving in an interesting way, isn't it?
It is. It is. Yeah. Well, you know, the music. It's hard to. Uh, it's it's hard to characterize a lot of music. A lot of times music, certain music just doesn't fit in any particular category. And
yeah.
And they can only have so many categories in the Grammys. So, you know, certain kinds of music gets put in certain categories just because there's nowhere else for it to go, you know.
But yeah.
It's, you know, categorizing music is difficult.
It is.
It's just difficult. You know, it's music, and there's always, you know, attempting to categorize it is very difficult. And, I mean, I know some people will make a record that you know, specifically to fit a certain characterization or certain, you know, genre, but I don't know. I just make music that sounds good to me, and then I have to figure out what you're going to call it afterwards.
Well, now, you've done mostly all instrumentals. Have you ever done one that has had music or anything or spoken word, or has it all been instrumental work?
It's all instrumental, yeah. I mean, I'd sing in my shows, you know, I all sing some Hawaiian tunes in my shows, you know, but I don't consider myself a singer, so I thought I'd always think all. Now, I do have this collaboration coming up with Leo Kani Pryor. He's from Hana, mm-hmm. Originally, and he's a fantastic Hawaiian falsetto singer. So that will be coming out in April. And if anybody wants to know about it, they can just sign up for my newsletter, and I'll have all the info. I'll be sending out all the info when it's out. But it's a really lovely sounding record. He's a fantastic Hawaiian vocalist, and we've played together in quite a number of times, mostly out in Hana, actually.
So where do you play when you play out in Hana? At the hotel?
Well, yeah, for a number of years, Leo Kani and CJ Helicott, you had a regular gig at the hotel, and I would go and sit in and play with them at the hotel, either in the dining room or in the Paniolo Lounge, and always fun, you know, always good time.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I haven't been out to Hana in way too long, and it's such an amazing place. And, you know, it sounds to me like that's almost like a second home to you.
Whenever I go back, people say welcome home, which is very nice.
Yeah. No, I can totally understand that, because it's almost like another planet, you know. I mean, it's
very different out there.
Yeah, it's got its own, definitely its own feel, its own vibrations, its own speed. It's definitely on a different speed than some of the other speeds we have here in Hawaii, right?
Yeah, that's true.
I remember a couple years ago, you were going to be playing out in Opilikai, and you came in to do an interview live in the studio before you went to play with George Kamoko that night. And that was the time there was a fire, and you found out while you were on the air, just as you'd gotten off, that you couldn't get through to Opilikai through the regular road. So you called George, and he told you to drive around the back way of the island to get there, to get over to Opilikai.
Yeah, it was a little dicey. They even had the back way blocked off. But George said, just tell them you're coming to see Uncle George. And that's what I did, and they let me through. So,
And that was
I had the magic password.
Now, getting back is another story. I guess you stayed up there. But, no, it's lots of interesting stories with George always, right? I mean, he's on tour right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
And George always has.
Yeah, this will be the first time that I won't actually be seeing him at the show, because he's on tour. So.
Yeah, I think he's playing in Flagstaff or Arizona this week or something, but but he's one of the great ones, and he tells great stories, that's for sure. Well, I'm gonna play a little of your music here now from your CD that I love so much, this beautiful CD called Guitar Stories, Slack Key and Beyond, and I like that Slack Key and Beyond's a great way to call it. And people can see you tonight, 7:30, right?
Yep, 7:30. No, not tonight, tomorrow night.
I'm sorry, Wednesday night. Wednesday night at
7:30, at the Opilikai Resort. They have a lovely little venue there that's for the Slack Key Show. They've been doing it there for many, many years.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate your kindness and taking time always out of your very sometimes intense schedule to check in and talk story. And beyond.
Well, it's always my pleasure. I just wish I could have been there in person, but
No. It's and you never know if a fire breaks out or something, then you get stuck again.
That's right.
And George isn't there, so I don't know if you could say I'm just a friend of Uncle George and get through.
Well, mahalo, Cindy. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's always a treat. Have a great show tomorrow.
Okay, thank you.
Aloha.